Yeah, hunker down, everyone. This is a long edition of the Wobcast. Jordan and I hope you are ready. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Jordan Struck. We're coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park. For the last time this offseason, the Wobcast comes to you from Winter Park because next week we'll be coming to you from training camp in Mankato. But before we get to training camp, we have to preview training camp. That's what we're going to do on today's Wobcast. We're going to go position by position down the Vikings roster and give you a general summary of where the team is at with each position heading into the 2016 season. Jordan and I will also go over a few of the position battles that we're excited to watch once we get to training camp, and then we have some news about US Bank Stadium to wrap up the show. So let's start with a breakdown of each position on the Vikings roster. We'll throw in some of the interviews that Jordan and I have done with Vikings assistant coaches and some Vikings players to help supplement this training camp preview edition of the Wobcast. Ready to roll, man?
My seat is buckled. I am ready.
All right, here we go. Let's start at the top with quarterbacks. Established starter in place in Teddy Bridgewater, entering the prime of his career. Everyone this offseason, Jordan, talking about Teddy, in air quotes, cutting it loose. So we asked quarterbacks coach Scott Turner what that means.
You know, Teddy's really done a great job. You know, we worked on some technique issues, worked on, you know, throwing the ball down the field. I know that's what, you know, everybody wants to hear. And, you know, it's something that we focus on, and Teddy's done a great job with it. And then just, you know, moving into the third year, third year of being the starting quarterback, second year of the off season, you know, being the starter in an off season, you know, he's really moved into that leadership role. You know, I think guys gravitate towards him. You know, he feels comfortable, you know, now, you know, telling guys what to do if they messed up, holding guys accountable. And when you get that from another player, I think it goes a long way instead of just hearing it from coaches.
Let's start with going down the field more, because you're right. Everyone wants to hear that. That is a function of a lot of things going right. Pass protection, receivers running routes, coverage, reading it right. So all that you can't necessarily help as a quarterback. But what have you worked on with Teddy specifically with the downfield passing game? What's been working?
Without getting into all the specifics, on when you throw the ball down the field, a lot of it has to do with catch points, you know, and you're gonna throw the ball to an area and you gotta trust the receivers to get there, you know. So we've really worked on identifying what those areas were, you know, letting the ball go on time and then putting the onus on the receiver to go make a play, you know. And we know as coaches and, you know, as people that study football, those are lower percentage plays, you know, but they open up other things. And when you do hit them, they're game changers, you know. So those are the things we talked about with Teddy of, you know, where are these balls thrown, you know, what kind of leverage are you getting from the DB? And, you know, that can kind of change things, you know, put the ball where our guy can go up there and make a play, and then also, you know, put pressure on the receiver to make that play.
With Teddy, Jordan, he's in the prime of his career, entering his third season, and the team has gone to great lengths to enhance the performance around Teddy, particularly with signing Alex Boone and Andre Smith along the offensive line, drafting Laquon Treadwell in the first round, and ensuring that Adrian Peterson remains in the backfield to take some pressure off of Teddy and help keep the defense honest. Backups, I'm leaning toward Hill winning that job, but I give Heinicke a shot to supplant Hill as the backup. Either way, I see Heinicke staying on as a third quarterback. So to me, at quarterback, the Vikings are in pretty solid shape entering 2016. Let's go to running backs. I don't know. I mean, you can argue about as good a group as you could ask for at running back. You know, I mean, you start with the best running back in the NFL, for my money, Adrian Peterson, led the league in rushing last year with 1,400 yards, averages 12 touchdowns a season, has a 2,000-yard season to his credit, and is gunning for another one, which would be awesome to see. So you have to love what the Vikings have at running back with Adrian at the top, McKinnon as a great complimentary back, and maybe a guy who can be the guy going forward. but doesn't have to be that guy. So you have a guy with the capability, but doesn't have to be in that role. So that's great. Matt Asiata has proven that he can be the bell cow. He was that in 2014. If he's not asked to be the bell cow, he can be very helpful in the passing game as a protector or a pass receiver, and he is one of Mike Prefer's stalwarts on special teams. So he has great roster value for the Vikings, that being Matt Asiata. Not much room on the 53-man roster for C.J. Ham or Jarrell Presley. But you can't be surprised if either of them shines enough to make it onto the practice squad, and you can't help but love what you have in fullback Zach Line, a guy who gives you everything he has every single time, but you never know with the fullback position in today's NFL. One interesting thing about the running backs is that relationship between Adrian and Jerick McKinnon. A lot of teams would love to have Jerick as their starting running back. The Vikings have the luxury of having him as the number two running back, but Jordan and I sat down with Adrian Peterson earlier in the offseason, and it was really cool to watch superstar Adrian Peterson talk about his brother, Jerick McKinnon.
Oh, man. I can tell you this. He keeps me on my game. You know, the no days off, you know, but he has the potential to be, you know, one of the best backs to play in the league. You know, I believe that he's versatile. You know, he's a strong young man. You know, very agile. You know, just areas that he needs to improve. You know, in and you know, I'm sure he knows that. But you know, ultimately, there's not too many you know backs in the league that's better than him.
All right, we go on to the tight end position. When healthy, I think this is about as deep as you can want a position to be with Rudy and Pruitt as your pass-catching tight ends. I know that Rudy has gotten a lot better in the blocking part of his responsibilities, but his forte is as a pass catcher who can stretch the field and make plays after the catch. Pruitt is the same way. After that, you have Red Ellison, who can do a little bit of everything but is coming back from a knee injury that knocked him out for the rest of the season. So hopefully he can get back into good form and good health. Rookie David Morgan, in the meantime, may take on some of that Rhett Ellison role. You also have Kyle Carter, who has some intriguing athleticism, and then free agent signing Brian Lenhart. And his inclusion is notable because he joined the Vikings well after the Vikings hired Tony Sparano to be the offensive line coach. And you know that Tony Sparano, who coached tight ends in San Francisco, probably had some good things to say about Brian Lenhart. That is not a random free agent signing. That is one that was done with purpose, likely with Tony Sperano's input. But at the top of this group, the tight end position for the Vikings is Kyle Rudolph. The Vikings have a new tight ends coach. That is Pat Shurmur. Coach Shurmur talked to us saying he knew about Kyle Rudolph before he joined the Vikings coaching staff, but since he's been on staff, he's learned even more about his star tight end.
To improve, you know, just areas that he needs, you know, very agile man, you know, strong young. He's versatile. I believe that playing the league, you know, one of the best backs. He has the potential to be, you know, but no days off my game. You know, I can tell you this. He keeps me on. Oh, man.
All right, we go from the tight ends to the wide receivers. Jordan and I also sat down with Vikings wide receivers coach George Stewart. He had some interesting things to say about his group.
The guys that we have a good young group. I know the concerns have been with veteran leadership. You know, Jarius Wright has been here for 5 years. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson for four, Adam Thielen for four, Stephon Diggs for two, and Charles Johnson for three. So we have a young nucleus, but they have been well taught in the terms of leadership. You got to remember, we had Greg Jennings here at one time. We had Mike Wallace here a year ago. So those younger players have picked up. And the only way you can grow is to do it for yourself. And Jerry's just done a great job leading this group.
And his group is a pretty good one. You figure the team will keep six wide receivers. That's what they did last year. Wouldn't surprise you if they did that this year. And I think everyone feels pretty confident in who those guys would be. But you never know what's going to happen. Some guys can jump up and surprise you. Sometimes guys get hurt. If it is six, you think Diggs, Wright, Treadwell, Thielen, Patterson, and Johnson would be the guys. Jordan, we talked about this last week in the Wobcast, but the versatility of this group is pretty impressive.
We have a Swiss Army knife of wide receivers on this team that you can plug and play wherever you want. All of them can play each position, and it doesn't matter who's on the field.
I think Adam Thielen has gone from like the cute story of the guy from, you know, Minnesota State University, Mankato, who grew up in Redwood Falls, who made the pro team in his home state, and oh, that's so cute. Like, he's like a legitimate, valuable guy on our team now.
There's not a catch that he can't make. Like, yeah, he can make every catch on the field.
Yes. And he's the personal protector on the punt team. He runs down and covers kickoffs. He's a backup returner. And then, like you said, he's doing everything as a receiver. He can run block as a receiver, which George Stewart loves to have in receivers. So, love having Adam Thielen on this team. After those six, not sure who's going to be kept. You have to give an edge to Isaac Frichte, who played for the Gophers a couple of years ago and was on practice squad last year. Terrell Sinkfield is really fast. Troy Stoudemire has a great attitude and work ethic, changed positions. Wouldn't surprise you if he stuck around. He's got some practice squad eligibility. So, but those, that's really bottom end of that position group. I mean, the top six are really well solidified at wide receiver for the Vikings. Offensive line. Now, here's a position that everyone is very excited to watch during training camp in the preseason because there's so much competition that's going to go on, particularly from center through the right side at right guard and right tackle. I think you're pretty solid at left tackle with Khalil and left guard with Boone. Of course, you'd like to develop some backups at both of those spots in case one of them goes down, but you're going to have a great competition at center with Sully and Berger. You figure if Sully stays healthy, he should win that. And now you have a great backup in Joe Berger, plus you have a guy who can compete at guard. Joe Berger could also compete at right guard with Mike Harris and Brandon Fusco. Brandon Fusco has moved to right guard with the addition of Alex Boone as the starting left guard. Brandon Fusco goes to right guard to compete with Mike Harris and maybe Joe Berger. And then at right tackle, I think you got a three-man race there with last year's starter, TJ Clemmings, who started all 17 games the Vikings played in the regular season and the playoffs as a rookie. So that's impressive. You get Phil Loadholt back from injury, and then you sign Andre Smith away from the Cincinnati Bengals, a guy who's been a regular starter for a team that's made the playoffs every year since like 1908. So lots of competition along the offensive line for the Vikings. They're also going to want to develop some quality depth. I think they have the ability to do that with some of the names we've already mentioned, plus draft pick Willie Beavers from this year, last year's draft pick Austin Shepard. You have Carter Bykowski, who was on IR last year. He could be a swing tackle. So lots of options for Tony Sperano, the new offensive line coach, and the Vikings scouting and coaching staff.
There are so many moving parts to this position group that there's going to be a lot of good players that don't make this team in this position group.
Yep, and it's a good position group to be deep. I mean, the Vikings have been bit by injury at this spot both of the last two seasons, so I'm glad they have some depth there. All right, defensive line, another group that's really deep. Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter, that could be a dangerous, explosive, and productive pass-rushing duo at defensive end. Of course, you have Brian Robinson, who returns as the starting left defensive end, but could be supplanted by Hunter in due time. Even if he is, Robinson still has a key role on this team because you can kick him inside. He can be a nickel rusher as a defensive tackle. You can stand him up and do all sorts of exotic things with Brian Robinson. So those top three DNs are really good for the Vikings, Robinson, Griffin, and Hunter. At defensive tackle, you know, the top five guys are back. Linval Joseph and Sharif Floyd are your starters. Tom Johnson is a key reserve who's back. And then you also have Shamar Stephan and Kenrick Ellis, who both played last year in a backup role. So the top five D tackles return. What that does for you is it gives you a really impressive group, especially on third down. Imagine this on third and medium or third and long. This is who you have rushing the passer. Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter off the edge. You slide Brian Robinson to the inside, pair him up with Sharif Floyd at defensive tackle, put Barr and Kendricks in the A gap, have him mug the center, and now you have Harrison Smith who can also come off the edge. I mean, yeah, good luck with all that. So really impressive group the Vikings have going on the defensive side of the ball, and it all starts with the defensive line. All right, we go to the middle of the Vikings defense and the linebackers. The three starters from last year returned, Jordan, in middle linebacker Eric Kendricks and outside linebackers Chad Greenway and Anthony Barr. What more can you ask from a trio of linebackers, right? I mean, youth and athleticism, good leadership, production, versatility.
This is the second group that I seriously have no idea how it's going to go. There's so many good players on this position group and so much depth there that it's going to be very interesting going into training camp.
So after those three, the depth that Jordan references, you sign Emmanuel Lemur from the Bengals. Now, this is a significant signing because Mike Zimmer knows Lemur. He coached him in Cincinnati. So, I mean, if Zimmer didn't like him or if this guy was a marginal player, I mean, he wouldn't be here. Zimmer wouldn't sign off on it. So you know you got a guy who can play in Emmanuel Lemieux. You just don't know how or and to what extent and where because we're just not familiar with him. But obviously a guy that Zimmer likes. You draft Kentrell Brothers. You have second-year linebacker Edmund Robinson, who's really got a lot of upside. And then Audie Cole comes back from injury, you know. So, I mean, everywhere you turn, you got a guy who can contribute, whether it's on defense or special teams or both. And the depth is just really good at this position. And it'll be fun to watch it shake out in training camp. And you can't blame the Vikings for wanting to keep, like, all of them, you know, because you need them on special teams. You need them for depth. Both Barr and Kendricks missed time last year with injury. So the Vikings right now are loaded at linebacker. Hopefully it stays that way. Let's go to the secondary, corners and safeties. Again, the top four guys come back from a year ago, so there's continuity in this group as well. We talked about the top three DNs come back, the top five D tackles come back, the top four linebackers come back, top four corners come back, and those four are Xavier Rhodes, Captain Munnerlyn, Terrence Newman, and Trey Waynes. So you got some continuity, but you've added competition, particularly with the selection of Mac Alexander in the second round of the draft. So the big question here, I think, will be the progress of Trey Waynes in his second year. Can he push Terrence Newman for that starting outside job during training camp? And if he can't do it in camp, will he do it at some point in the regular season? And will you start to phase Waynes in a little more as the season rolls on? Sherrills counts in this group. He's your punt returner, backup kickoff returner, covers kicks, covers punts, does a million different things. He counts in this group, so you're probably going to keep six if all stay healthy. A really strong group that the Vikings have built up over time. It wasn't that long ago, Jordan, when your head dropped in disgust at what this team had at corner, you know, and look at them now. It's a great group.
From what the front office has done with this exact position over the last couple of years is really amazing through free agency and the draft. They've built something special here, and that's a pretty deep and talented group.
Yes. And this is another one. You said it with the offensive line where, you know, there could be a good player or two or more who don't make the team and get cut and sign somewhere else, you know? So I like when you're cutting good players, you know, that you hate to do that, but that's a good sign of where you are as a roster. Safeties. Everyone's going to be watching safety for two reasons. One, the best safety in the NFL, or at least one of the best, is Harrison Smith, and he's on this team, and he's signed to a long-term contract extension, and that's really awesome. So everyone's going to be watching that. But everyone also wants to know who's going to start next to Harrison Smith. I get a question or a tweet from fans about this every single week. I understand why they're asking it. I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying everyone's going to be watching this. And it's Andrew Sendejo's job. As you said, Jordan, last week, it's Andrew Sendejo's job until it's not. Someone's got to come in here and beat him out for this job. It can be done, but it's not an automatic that it will be done. This is a guy who started 13 games next to Harrison Smith last year for a defense that was number five in scoring and helped the team win 11 games and a division title. So, Andrew Sendejo is no pushover. He's got a special teams background. He's a downhill player who can tackle, who can hit, who can work really well with Harrison Smith. After that, you have all sorts of different kinds of players. You have a recent draft pick in Antoine Exum. You have a developmental practice squad player in Anthony Harris. And you have a rookie in Jayron Kearse. So I think, Jordan, this is kind of one of those deals where we're going to see a lot of different players, a lot of rotation here with Harrison Smith at training camp. If the team does keep six corners, you figure it's going to be four safeties. It's hard to justify six corners and five safeties. So if that is the case, you know, you've got four guys who all are worthy of a roster spot, but you might not be able to keep all of them. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. We're not predicting or telling the coaches what they should do. We're just kind of laying it out on what everyone is thinking about each of these positions heading into training camp. And this is just kind of the general feeling, you know, with some of these positions and especially the safety position. It's going to be a really fun one to watch. The specialists, another group with some continuity. All three from last year return. You know, I think that new long snapper last year in Kevin McDermott, second year, you're going to see some improvement there. Kicking and punting indoors, for home games will help a lot. And, you know, with the way the Vikings play ball, and that being, at least last year, lean on the run on offense to chew up the clock and move the chains, which the Vikings had the fewest three and outs in the NFL last year, and then playing great defense and then using special teams to help you win the field position. Special teams plays a really important role on this team. And so, you know, so what Mike Prefer thinks matters. And we chatted with Mike Prefer earlier in the offseason, and here's a couple of interesting things he had to say about his guys.
It's been a really good spring. Our veterans have come back, and we've, you know, we've built a good foundation here, but they've come back with a great attitude, a great work ethic, and that permeates through the locker room because the younger guys have come in and they bought into that work ethic and that attitude about special teams. And, you know, you can't tell a whole lot, obviously, without pads on, but you can tell the techniques and the fundamentals that we've been working on have improved throughout the entire spring. And, you know, this is just a hard-working team, offense, defense, special teams, and, you know, we're just trying to keep up with the O&D right now. We have probably the most changes with our depth chart year in and year out. Because we did re-sign Marcus Sherrills, Justin Tratok got signed back, and some of the other guys are back, some of the other veterans. Andrew Zendaya was a big sign for us, I think. We'll have more continuity than we've had in years past, and I think that's really going to help us. But looking at the young guys, obviously, you know, this time of year is very, very important. Training camp will be important to see what young guys are going to be able to help us on special teams throughout the season.
All right, so there it is. Every position broken down for you from the 10,000-foot view. Again, we're not telling the coaches and scouts how to do their jobs. We're just telling you how we feel about it heading into training camp. So now let's go a step further, Jordan, and break it down and talk about specific battles we're excited to watch in camp. Now, this can be a position battle. This can be a one-on-one matchup, whatever it may be. But just things we can't wait to go down to Mankato and watch. I'll start, and then you can go after me, and we'll take turns. I can't wait to watch Wayne's development, Trey Wayne's. You know, I think I get so many comparisons with Wayne's on Marcus Peters, you know, because the Chiefs took Peters after we took Wayne's, and Peters had a great rookie season. But the thing about it is Wayne's had a good rookie season too in his own right. He led us in special teams tackles, and we had Terrence Newman, Captain Munderland, and Xavier Rhodes, who stayed healthy all year, and so there just was an opportunity for Wayne's. I'm not saying Wayne's would have had as good of a season as Peters, but I'm not saying he wouldn't have either. We don't know. He didn't get a chance to. And so now it's incumbent on Wayne's to force the coaching staff's hand to play him. That's what Wayne's has to do. And it's not going to be easy for him because he's got three really good players ahead of him. But Zimmer is working on him. Jerry Gray is working on him. George Edwards is working on him. Terrence Newman is helping him. He's got a great model to follow in Xavier Rhodes from a technique and a development standpoint because Xavier has really developed. And he's got a great model to follow in terms of a psyche and a confidence in Captain Munderland, who's got the confidence that you want out of a corner. So I think it's right there for Trey Wayne's to take a big step forward. It's just up to him to do it. So I'm excited to watch that in Mankato.
Let's turn over to the other side of the ball, the one that you know, we've been hearing about all offseason, especially on the pick six, like you mentioned. And yeah, this question I'm sure you get all the time. Cordero Patterson, yes, as wide receiver.
Yeah. Excited to watch that, you know, because people who don't just hand out compliments just to do it are handing Cordero Patterson compliments. And I guess they'd say Cordell's earning them, but they're giving Cordell compliments.
Is there someone, are these people, do you have anyone in mind when you're talking about
this? Oh, Mike Zimmer, Rick Spielman.
Never heard of him.
Okay. Like Mike Zimmer just doesn't walk around just saying nice things about people he doesn't think deserve to have nice things said about them, you know? And he's outwardly saying, like, this is the best offseason Cordell has had since I've been here. Cordell has really improved in this area and that area. You know, and Rick Spielman's got to manage a 90 player roster, so he doesn't have to talk about Cordero Patterson, but he's choosing to. So I'm excited to watch that, you know, and see if he can transfer what he's done in the offseason to the field at training camp in Mankato. Let's stay on offense and go to a position that we talked about earlier, Jordan, offensive line. Center through right tackle. I mean, the amount of rotation and competition that will go on is immeasurable, pretty much. And I'm really glad we have Tony Sperano on staff to help figure it out, aren't you?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I, you know, And that's the one thing, like, there are, you know, going to be over 100 different combos that you could probably make with this offensive line. And, you know, who knows what it's going to end up being, you know, when we start, you know, when we kick off the 2016 season. Yeah. I don't think anyone knows that for sure. Nobody in this building probably knows that for sure yet.
Right. I think that's a good point. You know, you got to start camp one way, and so they'll do that. And you can read into that's what they're thinking or that's what they're hoping or whatever, but be careful reading into it, you know, because there's no better time to experiment than on the first day of camp. Like, you don't experiment, you know, the last practice of training camp or the preseason. Like, it's time to know what you're doing then. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to watch, and I think we got to be careful not to draw too many conclusions too soon. We got to let these guys play it out. And I'm not going to shortchange Phil Loadholt. That guy has – you know, the heart of a lion. I mean, I'm not going to shortchange him. And I'm not going to shortchange TJ Clemmings, because the guy was a rookie. It's just the fourth year he's ever played offensive line. He played D-line at Pitt. And he started and played in all 17 games last year. So there's so much going on at this position group that I can't wait to watch it once we get to Mankato.
Next, I think we should walk down to the other side of the line.
Okay.
You know, when you're talking about battles that we're excited about in camp, there's not a truer word for this next category than a battle, and that's Matt Khalil and Everson Griffin going
yes.
at camp.
You know, the team has the t-shirts that say iron sharpens iron. That was one of the themes this offseason, and that's these two going at it. I mean, premium positions on an NFL roster, right defensive end, that's where the best pass rusher goes, and left tackle, which obviously, since the best pass rusher is at right defensive end, like, one of the most important positions on the offensive line is left tackle. So, because they're going against each other, and it is the quarterback's blind side if the quarterback's right-handed, which Teddy Bridgewater is. So, cannot wait to watch this. Iron sharpens iron. You know, one-on-one battles where they're testing each other. They're physical, they're challenging, but at the end of the day, they're teammates and they're trying to make each other better. And Everson's got this edge to him and this persona and this nastiness and this competitiveness. But, you know, when it's over and he's walking off the field, he really wants everyone to be better around him, and he really cares about the team being really good. Even though he plays a position where he needs to be a star and he needs to have double-digit sacks and he needs to be the left tackle and he needs to do interviews after the game and he needs to make the Pro Bowl one day, he really is a team-first guy. He came up as a fourth-round pick in 2010 with cutting his teeth on special teams and really developed over time, and I think that helped install that team and team-first mentality in him. But he's going to have a role in making Matt Khalil a better player, and this will be a fun position to watch. All right, to close the show, some U.S. Bank Stadium news. Jordan, I know what you're doing later in the week.
What's that?
You're going to be helping to cut a ribbon at a brand-new stadium.
Am I?
Well, at least you'll be videotaping it, I guess.
Oh, right, yeah. Are you talking about the U.S. Bank Stadium ribbon cutting?
Yes.
Oh,
that is going to happen on Friday, July 22nd. So, not everyone listening has been invited. But don't fret, because we here at the Vikings Entertainment Network have you covered. Check out the Vikings app or go to Vikings.com on Friday, July 22nd. You can catch the Vikings ribbon-cutting ceremony from U.S. Bank Stadium on the Medtronic Plaza. And take in all the excitement. PA will be an MC. You'll hear from guest speakers. You'll hear from NFL luminaries and special guests. And it's going to be a very fun, extravagant time as the official, unofficial, but mostly official opening of U.S. Bank Stadium occurs with the ribbon-cutting ceremony. No, we won't be playing a game. There won't be a kickoff or any touchdowns scored, but this is marking the opening of a beautiful stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, that is finally opening after more than a decade of time has passed where leaders in the community and the organization has fought for a stadium. It's here. And the ribbon cutting will happen on Friday, July 22nd. So that will be an exciting time. Stay tuned to Vikings.com and make sure you download the Vikings app to have all of our content from that event and from all events subsequently delivered straight to your mobile device. You can stay up to date with all of the new and emerging ways we're producing content, including the Pinono, if you don't know what that is. go to the Vikings app. You can find out Facebook live chats, Periscope, and all of our regular digital content. That and more comes to you from our Vikings app. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's even more reason to go right now to get the Vikings app. Go to Vikings.com for more info. Go to my Twitter account at Wobby, or go to the Vikings Twitter account to find out how you can download the Vikings app. On behalf of producer Jordan Strzok, who did a bang-up job producing the last three Wobcasts in regular producer Nate Vaughn's stead, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Jordan and I are wishing you farewell until next time, and next time will be training camp. Jordan and I and the rest of the VEN crew will make the trek south down 169 to provide you continuous and comprehensive coverage of 2006 Verizon Vikings training camp from the campus of Minnesota State University, Mankato. So until then, we'll talk to all of you next time. Have a great weekend. So yeah, I started.